Hey, what's up, everybody? Thank you for listening to Garage Media Junkies, episode 39. 39. We are one away from 40, which puts us at 11 away from 50.
And we're almost close to our year doing this.
Yeah, we are, actually.
I think it's the second week of November, second weekend.
No, it'd be like the first or second one after Thanksgiving.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think. No, you're right. Second week is November.
I think.
I'm pretty sure. But you're right. We've almost been doing this a year. You've almost been listening for a year or not.
A year. Which is like an hour every weekend, which is how many weekends?
Four weekends a month, 48 hours a year.
48 hours of our lovely voice.
And that's still, I already have as many hours as that in Destiny 2.
There you go. So it doesn't sound as crazy. Thank you guys for keep listening. We'll be having some schedule adjustments lately. Last week we weren't able to record a podcast.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know.
I mean, it's tough. We went from doing them on Thursdays to Sundays to trying to back on Fridays, yeah. But now I think we're settling into a routine on Sundays.
At least for now. We're gonna still work it out a little bit later. But you know, don't think that we abandon you. If you don't hear us from us officially, you know we're gonna have to take a break or we stop the podcast. Keep just checking for updates. Yeah. I know we're abandoned also the Facebook a little bit, but we're getting back again and slowly
trying
more stuff in there.
Trying.
Yeah, you know, it's life. Grown up life. So
last week, I know, actually, what is it, two weeks ago?
2 weeks.
We talked about just kind of like some catch up for a lot of the stuff that's come out. But more importantly, Hugo is having a giant payoff this past weekend with his Blade Runner.
Oh, 2049?
Yeah.
I can tell right away. Like, if I was a critic and they asked me to put, like, one of those stupid lines, you know, like, outstanding or whatever shit, I would go, like, more like a badass and I will resume the whole movie in a dystopian self-discovery visual orgasm.
You can't take that out of context. So I'm gonna judge by your reaction just now because Hugo and I haven't talked about this. I tried because I haven't seen it, but then again, you
don't even see the first one.
I didn't see the first one, so again, you're not really spoiling. Shame. I know it's one of your favorite movies. It's one of your favorite franchises now because it's now a franchise. Did it live up to your expectation?
Yes, and a little bit of no.
How could it after this many years?
I think they need a little bit amount of epicness that the first one has. Mm-hmm. And I understand why it didn't happen, just because, you know, after the first one, it's so big and make you ask questions that really deep existential questions. And
it's not even like when that first one came out. I mean, that's pre-internet era. That's pre-real technology in anything. That was back in the 80s, early 80s.
Yeah.
And so...
just the thing with those concepts, it was like nuts.
Right, because now by today's standard...
Just to put a context of the movie, the first one, it's supposed to be happening in 2019.
Two years, guys. Yeah. It's going to be Blade Runner out here. Thanks, Trump. You're going to make Blade Runner for us.
just to think at that point, like late 70s, early 80s, develop all these questions.
Right, and I mean, this is before a time where the general populace really understood technology as a whole or artificial intelligence. Their grasp on the concept was so infantile. Really.
Almost like the Matrix kind of eye-opening kind of thing.
Right, whereas all the science fiction people are pretty well-versed, and even back then they understood the concepts, but I'm talking about like the core general population
had
no idea what the hell artificial intelligence was, just like Matrix had no idea what that meant, the virtual reality, like real, like a simulation. But by today's standards, we're like, oh yeah, I know, I totally grasp that concept. What's so special about it?
Right.
So does that take away from some of that meaning?
No, I mean, they were smart. The director, Denis Villeneuve, which now I consider... almost, or I think that's already there, like to a con- temporary master of cinema. What it was supposed to consider a master of cinema, you know, Scorsese, Spielberg, Coppola, all those guys.
Really?
It's been a while since I don't see that, and this guy have it. If you see his filmography with Prisoners, I don't know if you see it with Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal, a really amazing movie. Then he did Sicario, and then he did Arrival and Our Blade.
Okay. So now, I know who this is. Yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know from Arrival, but yeah. I mean, I watched like all like 6 hours of that commentary that he did and like the interviews and stuff. He's really good.
Oh, yeah.
He's really good with his actors and his story and understanding. Yeah. No, I do enjoy him. But you're right. All he needs right now is one very big iconic film to put him up there. Because you're right. He's got the talent. You think it's this one?
Even though I still enjoy more the first one, I think this one has already that even Oscar nomination quality. It's also another cinematographer that I like a lot is Roger Deakins. And he's been nominated. I don't know. Like, I already lose the count. The guy didn't win anything. And if he don't win for this one, it's like, fuck you. Fucking Academy.
Right.
Kind of like the thing with Martin Scorsese. It took a long time to give him an Oscar. It's like, are you kidding me? It was like, the guy deserved a couple of years ago.
Right.
But that's what happens. Politics.
But, yeah, politics appeasing.
Yeah, they keep following the same sort of track. Because the main thing or what make this the first one kind of like a cult and big following. And sorry, but it's going to be some spoilers. A little bit. I'm not going to spoil the whole thing.
If you haven't watched them like I have, just go ahead and fast forward like a minute.
Yeah. And even I'm not going to give away a lot of these things. These are like the core...
Concepts,
yeah. So pretty much that time in 2019, as a corporation, they're doing what they call replicants. And it's really self-explanatory. They're just... organic, almost like clones of humans, but with a little bit better abilities, you know, enhanced human. Mm-hmm. With the difference they, you know, human control them, kind of like robots, but, you know, fully organic clones. And the only trait for those machines is, one, they were used for heavy stuff, like slaves, and two, to not have the compromise of, you know, those questions that we have these days when technology is like, what happened if they, you know, get loose or they start like doing their own thing?
Lost assets, yeah.
Right. So they decide, you know, just to guarantee the safety of human beings, we're going to limit their lifespan to 4 years. So that's it. You know, 4 years and then they die. That was like the compromise to allow to be and have these machines and go against nature, I guess. So anyways, at some point they get loose, obviously, and these guys called the Blade Runners, which pretty much are hunters of these machines.
Like cyborg hunters. Yeah.
And that's
Harrison Ford.
Harrison Ford is the main character, Deckard. And the whole point of the plot and the ending, it's a really open ending where they sort of give you some hints both ways, like he may or not be. And it's up to you to decide putting all these scenes and the whole movie together. Then you decide. But never, it wasn't never like a real answer. Right. And all that get carried to this one.
Okay, so that was my next question. Yeah. So this is, he does a good job with like the baton handoff of the story. There's no hiccup. There's no nothing where you're like, oh, I didn't feel like this was addressed.
Yeah, you have some answers, but then you have more questions too. Okay. Which I think is a good trait.
Yeah.
I don't want like a really in my face answers right away. The cinematography feels the same. They respect a lot the use of that like organic kind of trash technology. You know what I mean? Like really cyberpunk technology.
Yeah.
Because he could easily go with a different vision, but he left.
He stuck with it. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's fine. I mean, if they're evolving, it's like 30 years now. They're already passing the movie. Well. Maybe there are some updates, but they could kind of have the same look. The acting is amazing.
How did Gosling do?
Really great. I think it was the perfect role for him. Based on some movies they watch, Drive and then Only God Forgives, a really serious, kind of quiet guy.
Yeah.
It has some actions. The guy that surprised me a lot, especially for people that are listening to us and they're really big fans of wrestling, is Dave Bautista.
Oh yeah, Batista was in this.
He has a small role in there, but it's pretty significant. And I feel like besides, you know, The Rock, he's being The Rock in the movies.
Yeah, that's what he plays.
This guy, like, really, he's been lately involved in, like, he was in Guardians of the Galaxy and surprised me a lot.
I know for a fact he takes tons of acting classes. So whenever he's not training, he's just in acting class. He takes it very, very seriously.
And I like it because, you know, they take all that brutal force or his physicality has and act like what he can bring to the table, but also, you know, mix it up with being a good actor or as best he can be.
Right. So my next one is, how did Leto do?
I mean, it's Leto.
See, that to me, when that's the audience's reaction, that's not okay. Because the method actors, usually you get things like Leonardo DiCaprio where you're like, oh my God, he was so good. But he doesn't ever come across as pious or better than you, like in real life. And I think Leto does. So all the time, whenever he does show up and you're like, eh, it's Leto. That's bad.
I feel like sometimes he's full of bullshit with his method acting thing. I mean, he was talking like, oh, yeah, I, you know, put like a bandage or whatever so he can, because he's blind in the movie or whatever. And that's fine. I get it. But that's not just because you blindfolded like a blind person doesn't mean that you're going to have or give an amazing performance. He's okay. I mean, for me, he's guaranteed. If you hire him, you're going to have a solid performance, but it's like you're saying, there's no high notes sometimes.
Right.
That's what
he doesn't. He doesn't crack or he doesn't falter. He doesn't take the movie down, but he doesn't elevate it. And especially since he's supposed to play kind of a big role in it.
He's the main villain.
Right.
Sort of.
So to have your main villain not hit a high note, not hit that stride.
Yeah, I mean, like I say, it's solid. It's convincing, but
I would have gone with somebody completely unknown. You got Harrison Ford. You have Ryan Gosling. To have somebody like Leto, I feel, was a stunt to be like, no, I want big names in this. I want people in the seats. I want somebody who's relevant. That was a step sideways.
The only thing I can say maybe why he didn't give the high note maybe, just the way his character was managed in the movie, it was a little bit like not an afterthought, but he wasn't the main character or like somebody to carry the whole story. It's possible, even though they're saying like, oh no, this you know, the movie, it's a whole movie, one movie and that's it, we're not gonna go. Based on how many people is watching the good reviews, they're gonna make a third one. That's the feeling I have when all this thing finish.
When it's done.
Because there are still answers. Like, again, Leto character has some scenes here and there, but it feels like they're saving it to have a better impact on next movie or something.
Ah, man, that's my problem, too, with things that try to set it up, because then you're saving all the good stuff that could have elevated this movie for the next one that may or may not happen.
I mean, it's still fine. Either happen or not. If you see it, I think you'll
be fine with it.
You're going to have a good time.
So, would you recommend this movie for people?
Oh, totally. Totally, just with the warning of, I will say, movies are not made as used to, and this is an exception. It takes its time. Sometimes you may feel it's a little bit longer, but just be patient. Because that's what happened. Everybody's like, here is exposition, everything, boom, boom, have it. And then action, 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 and we're done. And here the director takes his time. He don't care if you're going to enjoy it or not. I mean, for him, this is my vision. This is how I'm going to slowly, you know, reveal everything.
I don't mind slow pacing like that as long as it's slow through it. Not slow, but it carries that same pace and it swells. It's not climax here and then slow. Climax here and then...
Every time it's an exposition of something, for this kind of type of movie, you need to put attention to what's going on. It's not putting it there because, oh, I run out of time. Let's patch it with this scene that doesn't have anything to do with the movie.
Yeah.
Like everything, it's for a reason. And it's getting long. It's almost hitting the 3-hour mark.
Dang.
It doesn't feel that long, though. So that's when you realize, like, it's fluid, you know, it's taking a long time.
But it was like a journey.
Yeah, and right away in the first scene, you get like
that feeling.
Good reveal. There's some amazing, beautiful shot, and then some action. Everything you want to spend in the first 15 minutes of the movie, so that's a good sign.
So what I always think of too with movies that do that, that go a little bit slower, how's the dialogue? How's the banter? How are the characters' interactions with each other? Because for me, when a movie does move that slow, everything hinges on chemistry and dialogue.
Oh, no, it works. It really? Works really well. Yeah, I mean, even the Ryan Gosling and Harrison Ford is not like a lot of screen time. It works perfectly. They match really well. Then there's another relationship that Goss has with somebody. And that's a really great one, the time they're together and the talk that they have.
So another one of my concerns was Harrison Ford was just a gimmick. Like, he's in there for just a little bit just to get old people being like, oh, he's in the movie. And then he's only in there for like...
He has a big role in the whole process and story. I don't want to...
Yeah, don't spoil it.
As much just because this is too recent, so I'm going to let him... But yeah, no, Harrison Ford is not just like a marketing tool. It is. But it's well justified, the participation that he has in the story.
Perfect. Yeah,
it totally works. And I think that's the other part. A lot of people is going to get surprised with the story. So I think before the premiere, everybody already was like coming up with these conclusions and stuff. And I don't think a lot of people are expecting what's going on. So that's a good sign.
Good. Good, good, good. So good news all around. That was good, and it's out, which is another solid weekend for the box office coming off of It.
Yes,
totally. After we had the worst month in movie history ever.
Yeah.
Like, that's terrible.
Yeah, it used to be summer, all the big movies, and now it's kind of shifting.
Well, it's shifting, I think, because they understand that the superhero movies dominate. So if you put this out next to Marvel or a DC movie, you're going to get capsized. You have to be stupid to go up against. So I think that it's Warner Brothers, right?
It will compete just because this, like, all the following they have this movie, and it's been like a masterpiece or whatever. But it's still like a superhero movie has more carrying. Like, it will bring more people. Yeah. Yeah, but I think it's Warner.
Yeah. Warner Brothers did its homework, even though they're DC too. They pushed it far enough out to where everything had already died off. Yeah. It's before our big scare season.
And Star Wars, too.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, we're supposed to get a trailer for that pretty soon. And when that does happen, I'm sure Hugo and I will break the hell of it down.
Yeah, because I'm not scared, but it's all the news is going on with all the shifting of directors, moving people here, there.
I don't agree that J.J. Abrams is back in there, but you all know that. I don't agree that J.J. Abrams left them no key markers for what to do in 8 and 9 and left it up to those directors to write that. I don't agree with that. I don't agree that Lucasfilms and Disney are moving forward with the, 10, 11, and 12. I don't like that. I want this to be over. I know several hardcore Disney and Star Wars fans that are really upset that we're continuing on after this.
Yeah.
Because they're like, let it die. Like, let it rest. And we won't. Disney won't.
No, it's Disney. And also, like, when they announced that J.J. Abrams was back, like, yes, Disney, they're going with their safe spot and not risking, you know.
Yeah, Disney. When you think of Disney, you don't think of, like...
No.
On the edge, like taking risks.
And I think that's what it will save something like this. Somebody to come with fresh ideas and maybe taking risks with the story. Why not? You know, maybe going even more violent or dark or...
Which is what they try to do with Rogue One. Yeah.
But it's still, even though they have the same feeling.
Yeah.
Sort of. The only difference in Rogue One, they kill all the heroes, which I don't think ever happened before. But other than that... Maybe the gay situation between the two characters is never implied, but I think they talk about it, that it was kind of like what they were trying to do.
Oh, in Rogue One?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But again, it's Disney. It's not going to openly say, like, oh, yeah, they're gay, and they're having a relationship.
Yeah, Disney would never do that, because then they lose, like, a good chunk of their core, like, Christian base, and then you'll never get that back.
Yeah, but still, you know, those are the risks that they need to take. That's what slowly society is evolving to accept all these other different stories of these characters. You know, there are a lot of homosexual and bisexual and all these genders stories that need to be told
or represented on screen more than just like a casual contextual underline of what you're seeing on screen that you get to think. Like, yeah, you need to blatantly be out there.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll see, but we'll talk about that one when it comes.
Yeah, what soon. I think it should be soon. No, yeah, because in the Blade Runner...
It's Monday Night Football. It's like...
Yeah.
The super, something when... Not the Super Bowl. It's like it's going to air during
maybe
one of
them. Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
Yeah, because I see the previews on Blade Runner and they show the same trailer they already show, so...
Oh, boy. One of the next movies that's kind of coming out is our... one of my favorite films from about 3 years ago, which would have been Pacific Rim.
Did you like it a lot?
I did, because I missed it when it was in theaters. My wife wasn't too keen. I mean, I'm a big mecha guy. Like, I love those animes. I love having that. I mean, one of my favorite animes, even though I hate it so much, is Evangelion.
Oh, yeah.
And it's so philosophical, and it's so deep, and yet it has all these, like, mechs and monsters and...
Yeah,
religious like undertones. I mean, it's great, great stuff. I just want to see monsters and machines fight in a city, and it never took off. But then, you know, Del Toro picked it up. God bless his soul, and it was like a pet project of his, and he kept pushing it, and it went through. Now, critics were kind of lukewarm to it, but audiences went nuts because it was one of those.
You said it right there. Like, it's just monsters and these big machines. Clashing together, don't expect nothing else, please. I mean, it was really simple and clear.
Right, and you know what? To be honest, even when I like watching things like Gundam, any of the Gundam series, all I'm really watching for is to see those machines fight each other, like really go at each other. But I've got to watch like 10 episodes of dialogue and plot and, you know, governments, and then I get to see maybe half an episode of fighting, but it's enough to keep me. So to have an entire movie that's literally 4.5 fight scenes of machines
really spectacular
beating the shit out of each other with these monsters.
Yeah.
I'm for it. I am 100% for it with little exposition, little dialogue, little
just go to
government.
You know what we want.
And it was so stylized too.
Yeah.
In different settings, and all the fights were in different places. I never felt like anything was a rehash of of a fight before it. Everything felt new and the stakes were high. Pilots died all the time.
Yeah.
It was really good. So I was excited to hear that they have a second one. I was sad to hear that not a lot of the returning cast came, which is sad because I enjoyed them.
Right.
Totally. But now we have John Boyega.
Yeah, and I think it's going to be the son of Idris Elba character. That's what it seems like.
If that is true, then I'm okay accepting it, but I want to know what the hell happened to my other two pilots.
Yeah. Oh, that's true, the initial ones. Probably this is going to be set up like way ahead, like after a couple of years.
But Charlie Day looks the same.
That's true.
Because Charlie Day was in the first one. He's in this one. Like, there were some of the only, like, carryover characters.
Maybe they die. Maybe there's
maybe it's just a clone.
A flashback dying or something.
Maybe.
Yeah.
All I'm saying,
if that Boyega is the son of Elba, maybe that means that guy is dead with all the other pilots. But... who knows? Maybe we'll have initial sequence where they die or something.
Maybe. That would make some sense. In the trailer, I'm not concerned. I'm interested. They seem to have a lot more weapons. I would have kind of liked to not see the weapons too much in the trailer. I would have rather been surprised, but maybe we'll get bigger surprises. My other thing is it looks like a lot of the mechs are fighting each other
in the trailer. Yeah, that's intriguing. That's it. Part that I told you, like, maybe something about that. That's the reason the other pilots get betrayed for the government or something.
Yeah, it looks like there's a different set of like Jaeger pilots. Jaegers are the mechs.
Yeah.
Of Jaeger pilots that are going after like the actual pilots.
That will be interesting.
Yeah, and then they keep saying that the monsters have evolved. So I'm not sure what that means. It looked like one of them was reconstructing his face after he got it blown off, which is kind of a problem.
Yeah, I have. Just with that data, I already have like an idea of, because in the last movie when finished, they blow the universe of the monster, right?
Yeah.
But then we see like almost black market guy taking pieces and samples. So maybe humans recreate him, which it wouldn't be that crazy,
Right.
Like it's kind of like Jurassic Park, where let's recreate him and then they get out of control or something. Because I think it's a line, something like that, that we create these monsters, like we fight these monsters and then we create these metal monsters or something like that. Something
that would be nuts. I mean, I'm interested and I'm intrigued. It has my attention.
Yeah.
Even though I have some like questions or reservations, it has my attention. I will probably see this one in theater because I liked the first one so much and yeah. I missed it. I will go see it.
And even I will, is the few that I will say I may recommend watching in 3D just because how Guillermo del Toro probably can actually use 3D in the way they're supposed to.
Yeah, see, I didn't get to
not
see
just
it.
Like
my wife can't see 3D, so I don't ever get to see 3D anymore. But that's okay. I save
it's all right.
Money.
I mean, I'm just saying.
In the general speaking,
if I need to recommend a 3D movie for somebody, like
that's true. Go see it in 3D. Now he is back at the helm, right? He's directing this whole thing.
Yeah, he's directing that one, and then he also premiered his The Shape of the Water or something.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I'm really interested to. Like, those are, like, the two faces of Del Toro. Like, this childish superhero or, like, action movies. And then the dark team with the monsters and stuff.
And I love it. And to be honest, when I saw that preview, I thought we were getting a BioShock movie.
Yeah.
It had the same stylization that BioShock had. And I was so enamored by it.
See, like... There you go, people. If you're a stupid producer that just wastes money doing all these stupid video games movie, hire somebody like fucking Guillermo del Toro and give him something like BioShock or something like that.
He can't do it. Like, he can't get like a video game franchise to do it, so he's just making his own video game.
Exactly. Like, nobody's doing like Evangelion. Fuck it. I'm going to do my own, you know,
right.
story.
He's like, I can't get any properties. Yeah, okay, fine. I'll just do my own.
Yeah.
Right.
Fuck it.
The balls on this guy. And to have it be good... My hat's off to you, sir.
Now, that guy is a really genius. And I wanted to keep just doing movies. The thing that he almost quit, he was on the verge and then come back. But yeah, those are the guys that you need to hire. You know, like he's...
Guys who are passionate.
It was so disappointing when they announced that he was just out of The Hobbit. I think he will like... Do a way better job than
I would have loved to have seen Del Toro's version of The Hobbit versus another, because it would have been one film.
Yes,
would have been one.
I think he had the plan of just doing that,
and then Peter came in and was like, "I have a plan for two," and then two turned into three halfway through.
My plan is like, I'm a greedy bastard. We're not gonna make one movie.
You know what would be really cool is if we had a battle of five armies.
Yeah.
No. I was interested in Del Toro's vision. I was really sad too. He was also, wasn't he involved in a Halo movie?
I think they were in talks, but
that was back in like 2005.
Same thing. It's just one of those guys. He's not gonna compromise his vision,
right? Which I can respect like him all. For.
Yeah, but they were doing some Halo with Steven Spielberg. That thing
it was
never
Steven
happened.
Spielberg. It dropped, and then what was it? Denzel Washington was in talks to be Master Chief, and that's when Del Toro was assigned to be the director as well. And then I believe it all just fell apart because
I couldn't totally see it like, no, we don't want Denzel as a, you know, the
Master Chief. Yeah.
Like, I can totally see the producers saying some shit like that. We need somebody more young and hot, like Channing Tatum or something.
But man, when I hear Master Chief, I don't think he's a young guy. No. I think he's like an old seasoned veteran that they just keep on ice to bring out whenever like shit gets bad, because they unfreeze him every time.
It's like, oh, sorry, Master Chief. Yeah.
Hey, we got ourselves into a pickle again. We need you to destroy an entire species.
I know you're on vacation and you're stupid like ice cold plays, but, you know, whatever.
Can you help us?
Yeah.
So to me, those are some big movies that have come out or are coming out soon. We have Star Wars, but we'll talk more about that when we do get a trailer, because it does us no good to speculate right now.
Yeah, I mean, it's coming more. It's just you need to. It's so hard to really keep it up.
I know the next big one that we have is Thor, Ragnarok.
Thor. I will wait.
See, for me, I enjoy Thor.
I mean,
one of the most. I did not enjoy The Dark World, but I'm going to enjoy this one the most because I feel like it's deviating so hard from its current formula.
Yeah.
I'm willing to give this one a chance in theater, because as soon as The Dark World was over, I was like, that was okay. It wasn't the greatest. I don't think I'll see another Thor film in the theater.
Yeah.
When I saw the preview for Ragnarok, I was like, this is what I was expecting Thor to be like.
Yeah, and I think they noticed it. Like, if I need to point it out, one of the Marvel's series that were like, it was definitely Thor.
Yeah.
It never, you know, was as epic as the other ones or fun.
It was in as epic or as fun because it had the most original hard concept to grasp.
Yeah.
Norse mythology to push on Western world. Like,
and mixing it up with the Marvels.
Right. That was a big task. If they had just had fun with it, the same that they did with Guardians of the Galaxy, which they're doing, it would have been a runaway hit from the get-go, but they were too afraid.
It was too serious.
Yeah.
It contrasts so much with the other, like Iron Man, the other heroes.
Yeah. And so, I think they got a big shot of confidence to do more of whatever they felt like with Guardians and with Ant-Man, to be like, oh, this is what you guys want? This is really what you guys want? Okay.
All right. You're going to get more. Yeah, but I think they need to, I think after Infinity War, they need a break to just let all this rest. But
this is Disney we're talking about. Remember, we have plans until 2022. They have phases till 2022.
Nah, they're going to squeeze it up until they can't get anything out.
I know, this is just tentative.
And then just is going to throw it away.
My thing is, end it. End it after Infinity War. It's good. It's done. Just let it rest. You can pick it up later. But think about it. Like, if somebody wants to collect all those movies, that's quite a hefty collection of movies that you have that are connected. Yeah. Like, have it be done. Have that whole saga be done. Don't worry about, like, contract negotiation, because I know that's on their mind.
Right.
And that they have to bring everybody back. Let it be done here in Infinity War. And if you want to start another saga, pick new heroes, new people, and let everybody start fresh.
Yeah, Robert Downey Jr. already started, like, slowly in interviews, like, I'm kind of, like, getting tired of this.
Well, because think about it. Look, the guy has done other movies, but
2010 it was the
2009.
First? Yeah.
2008.
Almost 10 years doing all this crap.
Which is insane, but again, it jump-started his career again. He's one of the highest-paid actors in the world.
Yeah, that guy doesn't need to work it.
But, like, him and Chris Evans have been playing these characters, and they're actors. They want to do something else, but they'll forever be known as these characters, which is great.
Yeah.
You were iconic. You did what nobody else can do. You were iconic. But that doesn't mean that you're okay with it.
Yeah. That's the part with the movies where they don't want to risk. They know Downey Jr. is going to sell, like, all the image of, you know, everybody knows the Iron Man is Robert Downey Jr.
Right.
At this point. So if you find somebody else, you look like Iron Man. Why you don't go and
I would love to, but you know,
you're a prick, so you got it.
Exactly. I got that dry humor, wit, and lack of respect for women. Like
the mustache. You get it.
Just give me a little salt and pepper on the side. Yeah.
Why not?
To me, just start fresh after Infinity War. They should let all those characters not die, but just be okay.
I think that's what DC's kind of realizing, like, what if we just carry our own separate heroes line? I think that's the conclusion they get. At this point, they also need to just shoot down everything, let them rest, and redo.
But they're not going to.
No.
They're not going to. They're already moving forward with their Green Lantern stuff, another Wonder Woman movie, because it's making them money.
Oh, yeah.
Another Superman film, another Batman film. Like, it just, DC is like that cousin you have that walks into the room, like, ass backwards and knocks everything over.
Yeah.
It should have taken its time. Open the door slowly. Taken a few steps in. Ask people how they were. See if they liked them before just, barging in. No, DC walked in and was just like, Superman! Now we're doing Batman versus Superman. Now with Justice League. Don't forget about the Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
It assaulted you with just this ass backwards.
Like the nice cousin is singing so beautiful. Look at me, I can dance. I can sing too.
Yeah, that's so what it's horrible. Like. That's what it's like. Like, you're just like, I don't understand you. I appreciate what you're trying to do, but none of it is connecting.
You don't have to tell him, so sorry.
You can't sing.
You can't sing. So just try to find something else.
Stick to your TVs.
Right.
Stick to your cartoons. Like, it just, whoever is in charge of that is just, they're screwing the pooch.
I don't want to be that guy. Well, if they're paying me, then I guess it can be like, whatever, I just want my check.
No, what they need is somebody who does care. What they need is a no man. What they need is somebody to go, I think that's a terrible idea. Yeah. We are not moving forward with this.
I think that guy can be Joss Whedon, because he changed a lot of what Zack Snyder did for Justice League. So that will be like
the To be test. Honest, that was the smartest move that DC could have made, was getting him, because he quit. Marvel because Marvel's influence and asking and meddling, which obviously Marvel and Disney had every right to do, but you just told the one guy who was super good at what he did that he didn't do it well enough to your vision, and that movie suffered so bad.
True. What was Civil... No, it was Civil War, right?
No, it was Avengers 2, Ultron.
Oh, there you go, yeah.
Civil War was amazing. Civil War should have been the second Avengers movie.
Yeah.
Civil War should have been Avengers 2.
Yeah, that's true.
But we had Ultron, which was a rehash of 1, and it just was a medley of setting up for Phase 3.
Yeah, it wasn't that bad, but
No, yeah, it wasn't a terrible movie. It wasn't
up to the standards.
But no, it was not up to the Avengers standards. So I think with Josh Whedon, and they're letting him do whatever he needs to do, reshoots, refixing, I think that
that's
it's
a good idea.
Yeah. And let him just, you have free reign. You're the boss, man.
Yeah, when we see Justice League, we will see, like, but again, if this can be fixed or not.
Right, right. And I'm not going to hold it against him if he couldn't fix it, because if those rumors are true, that they're saying that it was unwatchable, that sucks.
Yeah, that's a big tackle.
Which, again, you know, you had rumors for Batman versus Superman that it got a standing ovation when they were testing it. Yeah. I don't think one person in my movie theater stood up.
No, I don't believe that shit. Unless you're like a blindfold fan, which I can see totally, like
Jared Leto, you don't count as a standing ovation character. He's just like, it's beautiful. I loved it.
It was so ridiculous.
Yeah, exactly. He was still a Joker persona as he's going to the premiere because he's shooting for Suicide Squad. Yeah, we're getting another Suicide Squad film. Like,
I know.
What are we doing?
What the fuck they like overseas they see in these movies, you know?
You know what?
Or maybe they don't. I mean, they're so close.
Excited. But then,
like, they don't have that much exposition on us, so everything that comes, like, whatever, you know, besides what the shit that we see the year.
When you look at, like, China's box office, like, what movies do they really have? There's not a lot of diversity, and even if they do have movies like those, it's not as good, not as polished, not as good. So even though it may not be technically sound on a story level, visually, they're eating the crap out of it.
Yeah, we're just so spoiled.
Yeah, we are. We are. We are the first world problems when it comes to entertainment. I mean, look at Warcraft. White privilege. We were like, white privilege. You know who I'm talking about. No, it.
By the way, if you don't know what's white privilege at this point, like, get the fuck out of here. Do you know?
I mean, I'm not even fully white, and I know what white privilege is. I know that because I look white, I walk around with this invisible backpack that lets me go around anywhere. Like, it just, it exists.
Crees go to McDonald's, like, move on, I'm white, eat my Big Mac.
Because that's how I walk into McDonald's, snapping my fingers. Like, he was, like, motioning with his hips, like, I can actually move that way. Zumba teacher. No, like, we are so spoiled. Like, look at Warcraft. We looked at that, and it's a beautiful film, gorgeous film. Even that 10 years ago would have been astonishing. It's like Avatar level of CGI, right, and it's beautiful. Thing, immersive story.
Well, when you try to cramp, I don't know how many games in one movie.
Like six. There was like six full-fledged Warcraft games in there. It doesn't do it justice, so you're just kind of like breakneck speeds through the story and just exposition and then action. And we get to the end, you're like, what the f-? I can't even name anybody that was in there. Really, if I look back, I cannot name a single person from that movie. Not the girl, not the ogre,
I like it, but it was, you can't justify the lack of storytelling and other details.
You send that shit to China, everybody in China saw it three times. Everybody. Yeah, like, the children, the mothers, the grandmas, everybody in China saw it three times.
Yeah, I mean, just imagine seeing all these boring shit all year, and then suddenly it's kind of like probably my kid when I sort of most of the time I check that he don't eat a lot of sugar, but then when he finally gets, it's like, holy shit,
it's what, like a shot of like adrenaline and heroin straight to his stream,
like a visual orgasm.
His pupils dilate and he starts shaking.
It's coming out of
exactly so he kind of goes nuts. I mean, so for us, they're first world entitlement problems. So when we shit on Justice League, I mean, technically the movie looks great.
Yeah, no.
And technically, you know, all of our superhero movies are great.
But then again, if we get critical, that's expected for the money, the level of, you know, all the toys there have access. Like, technically, you can really screw it up. I mean, you cannot have storytelling or composition techniques or whatever, you know, all that make a master in cinema. But if you can't at least give me nice visuals, you have a fucking problem. Right. Unless it's intended to be shot like that.
Right.
But it's a really weird case.
Yeah.
So
for me, these movies have to step up their storytelling. And I don't know, because right now there's a lot of them that are great. For superhero movies, I'm very impressed. But I don't know how much further we can go up before we hit the ceiling. And it's not anybody's fault that we've hit it. It's just, you can only tell that story so many times before it really gets old. So finish it. End it. That's our point.
Yeah.
As a media, you have to have an end point, even though you want it to continue forever. Internally, we face this struggle because the other side of that is, I can't follow this forever. And I will get bored and I'll stop following it. Totally. Which means that the show will suffer and have to end earlier than they were planning. And then it just seems rushed and then you get shit. So have an end in sight, work towards it, and then be done.
Yeah. Just look what somebody like Ryan Reynolds, he was more smarter. He saw that. Everybody's getting boring. We need to spice up things. Let's do Deadpool. And that was successful.
And he signed on to be Deadpool, and then they lied to him, and then he did a shitty version of Deadpool because he was like, shit, I signed the contract, now I'm here, this is not what I signed up for. Still stuck with it.
Yeah.
Found the right people. Did it on his own.
I mean, he put a lot of risk on that project, sure.
But he found the right people to write it, to direct it. He voiced the little animated character that they did the test footage for. And it worked.
Yeah, now we're going to start seeing a lot of rated R movies. But, you know, it's like that's the thing. It wasn't the big guys. Somebody from outside need to come and tell them, like, this is, you know, this is going to be the new thing.
And who knew that Fox would be the one to do it?
I know.
You know, they just put out the turd of Fantastic Four. Like, but Fox was the one that was just like, and we're going to put all of our money. They really did put all their money on Fantastic Four when they put that and Deadpool out almost in the same year.
After that failure, is probably they were like, they whatever, were like, here the rights, do whatever you want.
Yeah, they were just like, well, shit, here's Deadpool. Let's put out, like, any campaign that we were going to do for it is shit. So, you know what? Do your own. And that's where we got the whole, like, Prostate Day and his, like, Australian Day commercial, because it's so low budget, but it does such a good job.
I remember a lot of the one with the kids and the swings.
Oh my gosh, the Halloween one. Yeah, he's like,
oh shit, go back to your fucking swing.
And they're all like, say cheese, cheese. And he's like flipping off Wolverine and like dressed up as Wolverine. Like, it was so good.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing. You have to understand your characters, understand your audience, and just marry those two products. Yeah.
And if you're going to bring somebody on board, just freaking back them up. You know, don't stab them in the back later in the process. Just let him do his
job. Especially with already established franchises such as comic books, you have a fan base. So you have a very, very angry fan base that's very judgmental. I know you're trying to reach the masses. You'll reach the masses. These stories are popular for a reason. Stay true to it and don't fuck it up. Don't try to put your own, like, it's okay to put your own twist on it, but when you try to put your own corporate twist on it, that's when shit gets bad.
Well, yeah, I'm hoping for a Deadpool 2. Seems like Josh Brolin looks good. He put some pictures on Instagram. He's buff, and he really looks like the character.
Right.
So let's see that one how works. I mean, it's coming so much movies. We're gonna still catch up with the next podcast, but
we have so much to cover. But we'll move on to like video games. One of the things that we're going to talk about today is Hugo's long-awaited arrival of
the Cuphead.
Cuphead, what are your first... Because, again, if you don't know what Cuphead is, it's a very stylized, artistic 2D shoot-em-up platformer. Yeah. And it took years to make because it's all...
Almost four.
Cel-shaded. Yeah. But there's some history that I was even learning in this coming out. But... it all looks like the 1930s, 40s, like Mickey Mouse cartoons.
Yeah.
So the music, the animations, the characters, the inanimate objects coming to life. Very, very stylized. Beautiful music, sound design.
Yes.
Your first impressions after waiting all of this time.
So I didn't have a chance to play a lot, but I have a couple hours.
It's sad when we say we don't have a lot of time to play, but we did it for a couple hours.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, I haven't played Destiny a lot, but I played it for 24 hours. Like,
no, I don't have 24 hours to play. But The first impression, I think it was worth the wait.
Wow.
I can tell that, like, you can tell that they improved the game a lot. I have the sense of if they rush it, it will be one of those case scenarios where, you know, it's you just throw it out incomplete.
It would have been good. I mean, it would have been great, but it's just okay is if they rush it. Now, what I learned is it was all just boss battles when they first had it, and that was their original idea, was just to just have these boss battles with Cuphead and Mugman and everything there. But it caught so much attention 4 years ago for what it was, and everybody, they were like, okay, we need to make levels.
Yeah.
And then they made it into the full-fledged game that it is.
And I think that was the advice of the Xbox part.
Which is amazing.
You guys have an amazing thing. Let's really polish. Let's be patient. And let's put it out there. And, I mean, it's not going to be a game that's going to sell Xbox consoles. But I already have people that I know in other video games and even people that work on the media outlet and whatever. That, you know, I don't have an Xbox. I'm sort of thinking maybe I get an Xbox for Cuphead. It's that kind of buzz.
You
kind of
reached a niche in your community. So people who actually value the art. If you're a kid, a teenager, and you hear Cuphead's coming out, you're like, meh, it just looks okay.
And even still, it may catch some young. It's so detailed. Like, it really almost led me with the mouth open just for the level of detail as the game.
So I watched a few people play, and I watched a lot of the songs, the animation. Like, I almost want to go and actually download the soundtrack to it.
If you consider how much cost the game, that's the only part. I can find, like, maybe here and there little details, but then I see the price, I'm like, fuck off. You know, it's, you can't be complaining about those things for that price.
It's an amazing little piece of, I'm going to call it, like, cinematic artistic history, because nothing else on the market is like it. But for the game that it is, it's causing so much, not only, like, buzz around its artistic design.
Yeah.
But also the gameplay, and I think that that's also key, because it's brutal.
Oh,
it is brutal difficulty almost from the get-go.
I mean, it's not impossible. I hear some people like, oh my God. They're like, don't be a baby. Mm-mm. Just keep playing.
The people who are saying, oh my God, are the people who have been playing games, this generation of games, where you can almost start a game and finish it.
Yeah.
When Hugo and I were kids, you had games where you never knew the ending to them because the difficulty was through the roof.
And that's the thing. They find a good balance of... I mean, they have the three levels, so it's super easy, whatever, and badass. I was playing the regular, and I died quite a bunch of times. The more time you play, obviously, you get more, your reflex are better.
Yeah.
You start learning certain patterns, but that's the thing. Sometimes it's random to change. It's never like a stick pattern. Like something like Contra, you know, stuff like that. So here and there, it's almost like it's 11. The game is 11. Try to figure out your AI in the game, like how good. And then sometimes suddenly there's a random change to break the pace, which is good. But most of the time, you don't lose because the game is like hardcore. You lose because you did something stupid.
Yeah.
It's your mistake, really. That's how you feel.
I heard it compared to Dark Souls. Now, a lot of people are like, it's not as hard as Dark Souls. But the whole core concept of Dark Souls is the reason you are losing is because you're making stupid decisions and you're playing stupidly.
Yeah.
Play smart, play defensively, and you're going to beat the game.
On that regard, I agree. But in the like gameplay, it almost feels like those, what is it called? I don't know if you remember those Japanese games with the ships. You know, there was vertical.
And
the only reason I compared to that is it gets to a point that it's so much going on the screen, you need to be, like, fast.
Like, so it's like, really focused. I think it's Galaga is what it was. Yeah, where you're like, but you're the little ship and you just shoot the little missiles, like, over and over and over and over.
But, you know, it gets a point when you get to the boss, it start cramping.
Yeah, you can't avoid all of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So I like that part.
You like the clusterfuck.
Yeah. It's because you start getting like, oh my God. And then when you lose, it's like, motherfucker. And then you breathe and like, okay, here we go again. It's like addicting. God. Is that a kind of part of addicting, you know? Like,
yeah.
Like when you finally pass the level, you feel like the biggest motherfucker in, you know, in the world. Like, I did it, you know? Especially when you have, because then at the end they grade you for how long it took you,
if how you many lost moves lives did you do, whatever. Did you parry anything? Did you
so
do anything?
So when you see minuses, like, fuck, all these times.
I can
just
do
for
it better. It's not just beating it. It's I can do it better.
And you don't need to, like, go straight for hours. You can play an hour a little bit and, like, I'm going to, you know, come back later. But there's that game that make you come back slowly. Like, you notice at first, yeah, it's frustrating, and then, but you can, you know, you can come back.
Right.
Like, this game is not gonna.
So I'm glad. I thought we were gonna start, you know, before it came out, before I even did my research on it, I thought it was not gonna deliver because it had waited so long, and they can only do so much. How much was the game? Like $20, $30?
$20.
I thought, man, they're not gonna be delivering a lot of content. It's not gonna be full.
You can argue again that it's not a lot of secret levels. Or
seeing what it is,
yeah.
No, $20 is totally justifies that price.
And if they add, like, this is one of those games, if they ended up like, oh, we have DLC with more bosses, I will buy it gladly. I don't think they're cheating you.
No, no, and that's what I hear. And there hasn't been one real single negative thing from it. Everybody who does review it has an appreciation for the art and the work that went into it. Yeah. And number two, all the stylization. Number three, all that difficulty. They don't dumb it down for the general consumer. Right. They hear that most players want difficulty, and here it is.
There you go.
Yeah. So I'm glad that you enjoy Cuphead.
And they may add on, they're thinking on adding online, which I think that would be another
amazing
thing to add. I think if they add online, they're going to sell way more, which they're already in a good position right now.
It was online, I had no problem getting it and playing it with you. But because it's not, I'm like, well, then I'll just play it on Hugo's Xbox, and then we'll just play it there. But if it's online, no problem.
I think they're just trying to figure out the lag, which I think some people were like, oh my God, this is 2000, whatever. We have technology. But the amount of the stuff going on and one simple, like one of the bosses, I can totally see lagging a little bit more than all the games.
Right, because this is not... in seeing what it is now, you're right.
Yeah.
With all this stuff happening, I mean, you play things like Destiny and you get something called ping. You might know what ping is, you might not.
Yeah.
I'll explain ping. Ping is when it's the time it takes your Xbox to send a signal to the servers, have the servers register it, send that signal right back out to everybody else's Xbox who's playing in your world. That ping, sometimes my ping is like 0.5 seconds. So even though on my screen I'm hitting the boss, he's already moved a little bit. And so if my ping gets really bad, that's when things start jumping all over the screen. So if it's online, I may be playing and I think I'm dodging these things, but my ping is terrible. Therefore, I'm getting hit everywhere by nothing. It looks like nothing on my screen. But on Hugo's screen, he's like, why are you walking that way? Why are you doing nothing?
You're so stupid, Chris.
Yeah. So I understand that, especially when it's that kind of...
And also, I mean, it's not fair to compare how much money Destiny can invest in their servers to a company of like 14 people.
But it's still not enough.
No,
that's the thing. Yeah, this is a game company that has the largest backing and financial... stability from a company, $500 million.
It's fine. Buy another building full of servers. It's okay. We can deal with it.
Right, but they don't, and it still struggles. Yeah. It struggles so bad sometimes. So for something like Cuphead, with all of this stuff going on, it's gonna crash. It's gonna freaking explode.
Yeah.
Especially if they don't buy good servers, and it's not like this is a top tier developer.
Yeah.
Who can afford these high-end servers?
They put everything, their houses, everything on the line just to finish the game.
That's insane to me.
Yeah, that's the reason I started like reading some articles that people have started like piracy and stuff like that. Don't do it for a game like that. Don't do it in general.
In general, especially for an independent game.
It's like you're killing
on.
These guys. You know, they even trying to put a really fair price, $20. Like
$20 for something like that.
You can go to Starbucks with some friends, and that's what you spend.
And here's where I don't have any respect for people like that. Those guys could have put that game up for $5, and they still would have pirated it.
Oh yeah,
that's where I have a problem. I understand you're like, oh, I'm not gonna buy $60 for a stupid game that doesn't even cost that much.
Right.
I can understand why you're doing it. You shouldn't have done it, but these guys are like literally that's their lives, that's their lifeblood that went into this, and you're like, fuck it. My mom will pay for it.
Yeah, and they're being so nice. If you want to, like, maybe not pay, You can follow them on Twitter. I mean, you need to really, really follow them a lot. They're being putting a few keys on Xbox Windows 10 store and also Steam. They're giving away a few keys. So, but you know, it's like first, whoever first see it is the one that's going to use it. So you need to be glued to the Twitter. But I mean, that's an option. You know, that nobody really does that much.
Right.
They give you a free games game away. Yeah.
Companies will and like stations will and giveaways will, but not the actual people who like poured their own money into the game. Like that's unheard of.
Right. So I will say if you're a nostalgic guy that has appreciate for really amazing indie art game, this is it. Like I think that's the most refined indie game you can find right now.
There you go. I mean, who
I think that he's gonna, this game is gonna win the indie game of the year, period.
I hope it wins more than just the indie game of the year. To be perfectly honest, I would love for this game to win like I'm sure there's like not a graphics one, but like best visual design.
Yes,
I really hope it wins a big award, not just best indie, because that's kind of like, hey, good job for being you. Like, here's a sticker. I wanted to win one of the big boy awards. Yeah, right on the forehead. I wanted to win a big boy award. I wanted to make those AAA companies sit up and go, holy crap. That's what I want. It's kind of like when a like a independent movie wins best picture or wins best director, and like all these big studios go like, maybe we should hire that guy.
Yeah, totally. I think you're gonna have fun even if you're not interested. Like if you're not really into the genre, just to see the game, it's enough with those $20. So.
And Hugo and I were talking about holidays because they're coming up here. Yeah. What a wonderful cheap gift to get somebody who has an Xbox. Like $20, you could just buy it on Microsoft. Yeah. You buy it and it gives you a code. It'll give you like a 25-digit code for those of you that don't know. And then you give that to the person who owns the Xbox. They and put that in there and they got that game. $20 for a beautiful game. I swear to you, even if they know nothing about it, they will be thanking you by the end.
Yeah, I mean, you need to be really lazy and, I mean, not dumb, but...
childish.
To say like, oh my gosh, it's so freaking hard.
I don't like it.
That's the problem with Disney generation. They want everything easy.
I want everything easy. I want it now.
Well, that's, I think with that, we can close the podcast today. Do you have any recommendation?
So,
talking about that.
I'm going to talk about a movie I saw recently that kind of got some flack from my friends and family, mainly my brother. I saw The Great Wall.
The Great Wall.
Okay. Matt Damon saves China. So I didn't exactly hate it. There were things about the movie I really liked. I wish it would have leaned harder into the Nameless Order, which is the Chinese faction that mans the wall at that point.
Yeah.
And the five different classes of soldiers that were there. I wish they leaned heavier into that and
less we have Matt Damon.
On Matt Damon. And Matt, and by the way, Matt Damon's Irish accent in that movie is atrocious. No, I need to stay here. I need to help defend the wall. Like, what? He would go in and out from being like normal Matt Damon to Irish Matt Damon. Like, it was terrible. Yeah. But great movie overall, like visually and just for what it was, mindless entertainment. He wasn't trying to make a big statement. Take away Matt Damon and you still have a phenomenal movie. Those actors, Chinese actors, were amazing.
That's what I thought, because I think I just watched the last 35 minutes of the movie. I don't know why it was randomly changing, you know,
channels.
Yeah, they needed a little bit more polishing the effects, but I'm not going to complain that much since all the production was Chinese.
The lizard needed more effects, so for sure I hear you on that one.
But, I mean, like you say, if you're boring and you need to just watch something to you know, lose your mind, that's fine.
It's not a terrible movie. It's not like not worth your time.
Yeah.
But if, who was right? If you need something to do...
Yeah,
it's a great movie to just kind of pop in, watch once, and then you're good. You don't need to ever watch it again. But it's a good see. Yeah,
I think the value is that hopefully China push for more productions like that to rival Hollywood. I think that's what I take from that movie.
Right. I think that they finally found their niche. Yeah. Not their niche. I don't like that word for this. Yeah. I think they finally found their footing.
Yeah.
In how to make a big production movie. Have it appeal to Western audiences.
Just respect your own stories, guys. Yeah. You're going to be fine. You don't need big Hollywood stars.
I guarantee Matt Damon wasn't part of the story. And then when it was being produced by a Hollywood company, they were like,
whoever distributed the movie.
You need to include a white character. Yeah. Not in so many words, because obviously the guy who plays Oberyn from Game of Thrones was in there. So they're like, no. They're biracial friends.
That's what? Pedro Pascal.
Yeah, Pedro Pascal.
All right. I have a lot of recommendations this week.
Oh, look at you. Okay, what do we got?
A little bit busy. The first one I finished it today, it's a Steven Spielberg documentary on HBO. Really amazing. He changed a little bit the image that I have of Spielberg. And I just going to, you know, go inside of the mind of one of the best directors.
Of our time.
Especially of our time. And you're going to know more. I think for a lot of people, it's going to change a lot of those classic movies that live the message behind the movie, because everybody got a conclusion. Something like E.T., we already know this kind of dark tone and everything, but you know, you see the kids and like, oh, it's a kid's movie. And once you hear Spielberg, the reason behind, you know, the interaction of the alien with these kids or whatever, it just go more in depth. And it
you're
definitely
have to watch it. Yeah,
it give you a little bit more meat on the story.
And that's HBO.
HBO, you can go HBO. An hour ago.
Yeah,
it's there. More about HBO. I started watching The Deuce. If you're really sensitive about graphical sex scenes, then don't watch it.
The Deuce. Oh, The Deuce. The Deuce.
The
Deuce.
James Franco.
Yeah.
I
wanted
really
to see that
love
one.
The cinematography is amazing. The line
takes place in the 70s?
Yeah, New York 70s. I think it's centered around all that part of New York that nobody sort of talks a lot, but it exists, you know, like I think in Taxi Driver they sort of address a little bit of that with the pimps and the girls and porn industry and all the gangs and all the stuff.
But it's a corner of history that we should really look into.
Right. I mean, yeah, at first can be like, oh, they just show titties and
HBO
naked nudes and whatever, but it goes beyond that. In this case, it's not just for showgirls naked and guys naked. It's part of the story, you know. So
yeah, there's a purpose to it. It's
it has
just
a
because
great casting too. So
yeah,
I like also the black exploitation movies a little bit. So it has that sense. There's some of that in there too. All the typical African American pimps and stuff. You know, the customs and stuff.
Yeah,
yeah. I hear one time, I forget the director name, but he was saying it was sometimes more easy to do epic medieval movies or some sort of stuff like that than sort of old contemporary movies, something like Mad Men, because it's more harder to get cars and props and stuff like that.
Right, yeah, that's not something you could just like custom build. You have to go find somebody, pay the money, pay the insurance, and then if you need to blow it up.
Or if you want to make a big castle, you go in some studio and you made a big castle and that's it. You know, here
you shoot
you need
the exterior out in England, interior all in a studio set. Yeah.
Yeah,
I hear
these
that.
Solid movies you actually
time pieces
need.
Are tough because one thing needs to go wrong and your immersion is broken.
Yeah, so that's a good one. Second season of Vice Principals, freaking funny.
I need to see it.
Yeah,
something I need to else. See it. I had another recommendation. We watched something on Netflix called the Confession Tapes.
Sounds
about,
familiar.
It's a documentary about wrongful confessions to murders and crimes that the police are forced. You know that they interview people and interrogate people, but when they think somebody's a suspect and they think that they're the ones that'll do it, and they give them the polygraph test, but they'll wear them down for about 10 to 12 hours of just straight, grueling interrogation to the point where this person questions their own sanity and then will admit, like, maybe I could have killed him. Maybe. Yeah. I don't know anymore. I was drunk. Like, then that's what they show to the jury. And then even though the killer who actually has done it and actually did continue to murder people afterwards gets arrested and then incarcerated and admits to certain things, that person is still in jail. The original person who just falsely confessed to it, So it's a movie about like seven or six different cases where this has happened and how the justice system fails during that. It's a really good little documentary. Seven episodes. Very good. Very concise.
Sweet. All right. There you go. A lot going on this weekend here in the Garage Media Junkies podcast. Thank you so much, guys. 39. Next week is 40.
40.
And then after that, you know, we're going to the big 5-0.
God. 10 weeks from, basically 11 weeks from now, we're going to be in the 50s.
I know.
Halfway to 100. Halfway to our goal.
Yeah. It still doesn't sound like believable.
Right?
Yeah. We're gonna get there, guys.
And we're going to take you with us.
We have breaks and stuff, but we keep going. I mean, again, after the 100, don't ask too much. We don't know what's going to happen.
We don't know what's coming after that.
We have real lives. These are
careers, jobs,
careers,
families,
especially. So keep tuned. Keep following us on Facebook. I know I've been promising videos. I'm working on it. I'm going to put at least maybe once a week. Just maybe I talk of a movie or I recommend something in particular stuff just to have a little bit more content.
I will definitely try as well, just because I do watch a lot of trailers or do see a lot of things that I enjoy that I'm like, oh, I'll have to do that. I'll make a more conscious effort to actually just post it to Garage Media Junkies, because it does do my soul good to see like one or two of you guys like it, where I'm like, I've never heard of you as a person, but hey, this is awesome.
It will be better if you put something even like, yay.
Thanks, Chris.
So keep there. Keep sharing with people that you may think want to listen to these two fools.
So. Or, you know, do my favorite comment, which is hashtag Diego Luna sucks.
Yeah, Diego Luna, bend the knee.
Bend the knee, Diego Luna. Yeah. Not in a good way either.
No.
Not like Jon Snow gets to.
All right, guys. Have a great week. Keep tuning. Adios.